This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from Flying Aviation Expo in Palm Springs. We're with Nick Fritsch. He is from Glassair Aviation. Nick, Glassair is preparing an SLSA for the market, and it's going to fill an important niche in the market. Tell us about the Merlin.
Well, the Merlin is an SLSA, obviously. We're aiming at the Skycatcher market. So it's like many LSAs, high-wing, strut-braced, Rotax-powered, two-seat airplane. And my involvement with the Merlin really had to do with the training market because I have a background in aviation training. I've been involved in it all my life. And I said, you know, make it robust, make it able to withstand the rigors of training, make it easy to inspect, and, you know, it'd be nice if it were a good flyer. But the interior is nice. It's an easy sitting airplane, as is the Glassair Sportsman. So we certainly hope that this airplane is going to be a winner. And I'm passionate about bringing down the cost of pilot training because I believe that if we could complete 40% of the people who come to us wanting to be pilots, instead of the industry standard right now, which is 20%, that we could get twice as many pilots a year coming into our industry. And that would be a tremendous benefit and a huge advantage all the way around. So now that's what we're aiming toward, and obviously it remains to be seen if we're successful. But we certainly have the passion and the desire to do that.
Okay, well, part of bringing down the cost of flight training is bringing down the cost of the equipment for flight training. What's the cost of the Merlin going to be, and what are the benefits of the Merlin?
So in 2015, the cost of a Merlin is going to be about $139,000, and that'll be a finished airplane out the door, less taxes and so forth. So the benefits of a light sport airplane, really of any Rotax-powered airplane, are low fuel flows. And because fuel is a huge part of the cost of flight training, then, you know, fuel is a component of that. The other costs of flight training are the capital costs, the opportunity cost for buying an airplane, and the ongoing maintenance costs and insurance costs. And obviously, the more you fly an airplane, the lower the insurance per hour tends to be. And, you know, maintenance pretty much tracks per hour. If the airplane is a low-maintenance airplane, then it's much more economical and better for the flight school. The flight school can pass those savings on to the customers. So we're hoping that the Merlin scores in all of those areas. It's not a hugely expensive airplane compared to a Piper Archer or 172. So it will cost less to buy, it will cost less to insure, it will cost less to fuel. And we hope that it will cost less to inspect, although we don't have data on that at this point.
Now, you talked about it being robust. I assume it's going to be robust in all the places that take a beating as a training aircraft.
You know, there are limits to what you can do with robust training aircraft. But, you know, a lot of this is withstanding student landings. And student landings are a big part of the training process, and so one of the things that I suggested to the folks at Glassair as this airplane was being designed is make it robust, especially in the landing gear area, and make it able to withstand the rigors of training, particularly student landings. And so effort has been put into making a landing gear that is going to withstand student landings. That is one of our design goals.
It's not only flight schools that are going to buy this airplane. Tell us a little bit about the characteristics for just somebody who wants to get into an LSA airplane.
You know, when you're sitting in an LSA airplane, the thing that strikes you most is how comfortable the airplane is and how the visibility is and the ergonomics. So we've put a lot of attention into designing an interior that is comfortable, has good visibility, and good ergonomics. And of course, we've learned a lot with the Sportsman line of airplanes over the years about ergonomics and comfort and visibility. People love sitting in the Sportsman. Heck, I love sitting in the Sportsman. And I can do it for hours. And from a standpoint of airplanes, if you're a student or an owner or whatever, a huge part of the airplane experience is sitting in the airplane, being comfortable, having things nicely close at hand, and then obviously having a nice flying airplane. And we haven't flown the Merlin yet, so I can't tell you about that. But I certainly have sat in the interior mock-up, and it was nice.
Okay, where are you at in the development of the aircraft, and when are we going to see one?
So we have all of the molds in our plant in Arlington. We are now making all of the molded parts and assembling them as we speak. We have a test rig that's being created. So we'll be going through the ASTM requirements in terms of the static testing of the airplane and so forth. We expect a flying model in early 2015. Optimistic is December, pessimistic is February. So that's kind of the time frame. It's an airplane development project, so we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but those are the areas where we think we're going to make.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb from Flight Aviation Expo in Palm Springs. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.